Your online feature will begin in just a moment. First, a reminder that BBN is a listener-supported Christian radio and internet ministry. To support us, click donations at bbnradio.org. That's donations at bbnradio.org.
Good evening and welcome to Conference Pulpit on BBN. Dr. Clarence Sexton is our speaker this week. He answered God's call into Christian service while a teenager. In 1980, he accepted the call to pastor the Madison Avenue Baptist Church in Paterson, New Jersey, where he served for 8 years. In 1988, God led him to Tennessee, where he pastored Temple Baptist Church in Powell. There, he was the founder and president of Crown College, established in 1991. Clarence Sexton passed into the presence of his Lord in 2023 at the age of 75. This evening, we come to the message titled, Keep the Ox and Clean the Crib.
Would you take your Bibles, please, and turn with me in the Old Testament to the book of Proverbs, the 14th chapter. And we'll begin in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 4. The fourth verse of the 14th chapter of Proverbs. This is a verse I hope that you'll memorize. One of the great principles in life is found in this fourth verse of the 14th chapter of Proverbs. Perhaps you've been reading the Proverbs through day by day, chapter 1 on day 1, chapter 2 on day 2, chapter 3 on day 3, chapter 4, day 4, and right on through. And you're familiar with the Proverbs, perhaps more familiar than most people who are Bible-reading Christians. But here's a tremendous one. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 4, "Where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox." Where no oxen are, the crib is clean. The crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox. The Lord uses the simplest of things to teach us the grandest of lessons. This is the way God works. Anyone can understand when the Lord talks about an ox, a beast of burden used to plow a field, to get a job done. And this proverb says, "Where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox." I remember years ago coming to this proverb and God using it to grab my attention. And I read it and read it and reread it, and over again I would run it through my mind and meditate upon it, and I would think, what is this saying? What is the interpretation of this? And then after a length of time, a certain portion of time, I went to my commentaries and concordance and saw if there's anything else in the Bible to relate to this particular word, crib, and the commentaries to find out what was said about this particular verse in Scripture. And without exception, except I must say one particular commentator thought it possibly could be something else, and that's something else meaning that there was a place where food was kept and the crib would be clean, and of course the same principle would apply. But other than that, just that little notion that might possibly be an idea about it, every person who interpreted this verse, all the ancients you might think about who gave some word on this verse, said without exception that the crib was the place where the ox was kept. And so I began to think, where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increases by the strength of the ox. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean. Where no oxen are, the place where the ox would stay, where he would be kept, would be clean. There's no ox there, so it's clean. But if you're going to have an ox, you're not going to have a clean crib. And if you're going to get the job done that needs to be done, you need an ox. And you've got to have an ox. And if you have an ox, you're going to have a dirty crib. You don't have one without the other. And if you're going to get the job done that takes an ox to do, you need an ox to get it done. And if you get an ox to get it done, then you're going to have a crib that's dirty. And so I came to this thought. Let us keep the ox and clean the crib. Let us keep the ox and clean the crib. Now, there's so many applications to this beautiful proverb that surely you're going to latch on to one of them in your time of need or in your particular circumstance you're going through. Let's think about this. There is a purpose to be fulfilled. In this passage of Scripture, there's a man who has a job to do, and the job is more than just a job or responsibility. It's a livelihood. In order to feed his family, he has to plow his fields and plant his crops and harvest his crops and bring in the food. And that hard, troubled soil demands an ox. If he's going to get the job done, he needs an ox to get it done. And the purpose he has is to get the job done, and he has to have an ox to do it. And if you had a job around the place that required an ox, you need a place to keep the ox. And if you keep the ox and feed the ox so he can get the job done, he's going to have a dirty crib, and someone has to clean the crib. Now, if you don't want to do the job, if you don't want to have the increase, fine, don't get an ox. But don't talk about what you'd like to see happen and what you wish could be done if you don't want to get an ox. Because there's a purpose to be fulfilled. Clearly, we can understand that in the time in which this proverb was given, here's a man plowing with an ox, keeping the ox in a certain place, feeding the ox so the ox can get the work done, and finding out where he keeps the ox, the crib is dirty and it must be clean. And give me a job around the place. Give me a job plowing the field. Give me a job picking up rocks. Give me a job planting the crops. But that is a dirty job, that job of cleaning the crib. Somebody has to do it. And if you want what the ox can produce, you're going to have to accept that there is a dirty crib. There's no way to get around it. I want you to hold your place here and see an application of this in the New Testament, if you would, please. When the Apostle Paul is writing the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, he writes the church from Ephesus. And he says in verse 8 of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, "But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries." In other words, with the open door, there are many adversaries. I've reminded you in the past that it does not say, "but there are many adversaries." It says, "and there are many adversaries," because every door of opportunity swings on the hinges of opposition. There's just no way to get it done without the opposition. He says the door is wide open. And there are many adversaries. What he's saying is, we're going to keep the ox and clean the crib. He wrote to his son in the ministry, Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, in the last thing he would pen on this earth, on the inspiration of the Spirit of God. And we shall take up what he wrote in chapter 3, beginning with verse 10, when he says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me." The Lord delivered me. Now, would you imagine saying to the Apostle Paul when he left the great Gentile church in Antioch and was sent out as a missionary, when the Holy Spirit and the church co-laboring together, sent out this man of God. Would you say, Paul, when you come to Pamphylia and John Mark says, I'm going back to Jerusalem, you want to think about that before you go? Or would you say, Paul, when you get to Lystra and you're stoned and left for dead, you want to think about that a while? No, the truth of the matter is you're not going to be able to go without having somebody forsake you. And you're not going to be able to go without having to deal with persecution. And you're not going to be able to go, Paul, without dealing with shipwreck and loneliness and beatings and everything else. That's going to go along with it. But Paul would have said, I'll keep the ox and clean the crib. You see, there's a purpose to be fulfilled. When the Lord Jesus Christ said to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and when his serious servants have taken him seriously and have gone to do it, they know that there's been a crib to clean. Missionaries have gone to foreign fields in generations long ago with their things packed in a coffin. Read the stories for yourself. They didn't use luggage. They used coffins for luggage because they knew they weren't coming back. They just packed their things in a coffin and said, we're going for God. Amen. Hudson Taylor, when they finally convinced him to come to America, was offered money. He said, I don't need money. God will provide the money. I like to hear somebody say that. I wish you'd say that to me often. I remember riding a plane with Dan Quayle when he'd been down here to visit with us. And I was going back to Indianapolis, Indiana with him. And he was saying to me, Pastor, you really need some big heavy hitters to help you do what you want to do down there. And the pilot on that plane was a Christian and he heard what he said. And when I came back to Knoxville, just the pilot and I flying back from Indianapolis to Knoxville, the pilot said to me, I know you must be thinking about what former Vice President Quayle said. And he had good intentions and he's a good man. I believe he's a Christian. When I started to get off the plane, the pilot said to me, I know you've been thinking about what he said. He said, but we've got the heaviest hitter of all. Amen. The Lord will take care of it. Amen. God will provide. Amen. When Hudson Taylor came to America and said, we'll give you money. He said, I don't want your money. I need laborers. And he'd preach starting on the East Coast. And he'd preach and say, we need missionaries for China. They'd say, when are we going? He said, in the morning. Leaving in the morning. Whatever you got to get together, get it together. We're leaving in the morning. And some would go with him and he'd travel from coast to coast. When he got to the West Coast, those who said they'd go got on boats on the West Coast and went to China. They didn't go looking for a bed of ease. They went because they knew God wanted them to go. There's a purpose to be fulfilled. And there's always going to be a dirty crib. Some of you think that when you get married, you're going to marry the perfect woman and you're never going to have any problems. But if you're going to have a marriage, you're going to have some dirty cribs to clean. And I'm not talking about babies' dirty diapers. I'll tell you one thing, putting up with a husband's dirty things is a whole lot harder than putting up with a baby's dirty things. It takes a whole lot of work to have a marriage and have a home. Now, you can get rid of the old ox anytime you want to, but you'd be better off to keep the ox and just clean the crib. Amen. Some of you men ought to be pulling for yourselves about right now. You know? The truth of the matter is, you're going to have a baby someday. When you have a baby, you think you got the first perfect baby. But it's not just dirty diapers and crying in the middle of the night and earaches and all that kind of thing you're going to deal with. But rearing that child all through life is going to bring about a lot of things to deal with. But you don't suddenly say at age 10, 12, 13, 14, I'd like to get rid of him or get rid of her. You just take for granted that when you're rearing a child, you have those things to deal with. You see, there's a purpose to be fulfilled. There are problems to be encountered. Problems to be encountered. Always problems. If you don't want to have problems, get rid of everything. We have a printing publication ministry. And you print a book, you're going to find an error in it. After everybody's done everything they can do, they're going to find an error in it. So what you want to do, you want to back up and say, we're not going to do anything because we're afraid to make a mistake. Not quite. I was coming to the hallway a while ago, and I saw that the hallways had not been vacuumed, at least to my satisfaction, before the church service. I want to find who's got a vacuum cleaner, or put one in my hand, or a sweeper, or a broom. You say, well, you're just picky. Oh, yes, you're right. And I think to myself, you know how you can keep that thing clean? Never use it. Never use it. I walked into a restroom the other day, and the toilet tissue had not been replenished. I remember the first job I had in a church was to go in the church and turn off and on the lights and unlock the doors and then lock the doors after everyone left. And then I got an additional job to put toilet tissue in the bathrooms and paper towels in the bathrooms. That's an important job. I've often said, you know how important it is when you go into a bathroom and there aren't any paper towels or toilet tissue. You know how important it is. But somebody's got to do it. And it costs money. But that's part of it. A young man early this morning, before anything else was going on, was changing a light in the auditorium and having to get it done, replace one that was burned out. But I'll tell you how to not, never have another one burned out. Never turn them on. If you want to get rid of your kids and get rid of your mate and get rid of your church and get rid of your pastor and get rid of your Sunday school teacher and get rid of your school teacher and get rid of everything else in your life, then you got nothing but your stinking self to deal with. And you think you won't have quite so many problems. And perhaps you won't. But as long as you've got people to do with and things to deal with, listen, you're going to have problems to encounter. There is no painless way to follow Jesus Christ. I think to myself about the good old days. The good old days, when I was pastor of a church in a town of 350 people, and the good old days when we thought we were busy, pastor of church running 120, 130, 150 on a good day. Good old days. And they were good old days. Thank God we had the grace of God then to enjoy it. But I had a burning in my heart that God wanted me to do more for Him and for His glory. It wasn't I thought I was too good for those dear people. The Lord had something else for me. And a ministry that enlarged and enlarged and enlarged and enlarged and enlarged. And by the way, any day I don't like this, I just need to say, hey, I don't have to put up with this. We don't have to have a kind of choir that works and practices, and orchestra practices with them, and the choir goes through all of this and comes out early, and orchestra works hard to get all these beautiful numbers. We don't have to do that. We can get up here and clang around, bang around. You know, brethren, we've met to worship. I like that song, but I'm thinking no practice with the thing. We can do all of that. But it takes some labor and work, and there's some problems encountered along the way when you attempt to do something. Now, if you don't want to do that and get rid of the ox and not have the increase, that's one thing. But if you're going to attempt to do it, you're going to have problems to be encountered. There's no way to do it any other way. Problems encountered. You don't want to have a seat in a church that somebody's cut with a knife, then don't let any of these deacons sit on them and whittle around when they should be listening to the preacher. And if you don't want to find something broken somewhere, don't let anybody use it. Go over here and buy a lawnmower and sit it in your garage and just look at it. Watch it. Go to the automobile lot and buy an automobile and lock it in the garage and don't let anybody get near it. You won't have a scratch on it. And don't get married and you won't have a wife to deal with or a husband to deal with. And don't have children and you don't have kids' problems to deal with. But if you get married, you're going to have them. And if you have children, you're going to have them. And if you drive an automobile, you're going to have scratches. And if you use a building, you're going to have dirt in it. And if you use something, it's going to be broken. Now, where no oxen are, the crib is clean. But much increases by the strength of the ox. You know how you pastor a church? You pastor a church helping people through one problem after another problem after another problem after another problem. And you say, that's miserable. No, 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 no. That's wonderful. See how Jesus helped us in this? Hey, praise God, next time we have something to deal with, He'll help us too. Oh, here it is, something else. Ah, the Lord's going to help us in this. And He does. And the Lord's going to help us in this. And He does. You see, we're just looking at one side of the thing. It's like my dear friend Dr. Faulkner saying when he was a boy in North Carolina, crawling around the floor when they were quilting. And these rooms where ladies had their apparatus set up to quilt. And he was just a little boy, and he'd crawl around the floor while the ladies were gathered around the quilt doing their patchwork quilt. He said, from underneath, all he'd see is just strings and all kinds of loose ends, and it was the awfulest looking mess anybody could behold. But he said, when he got big enough to see from the other side and look down on it, he saw the beautiful patchwork all placed together. And if we're not careful, we just see the problems. The problems. Throw out the baby with the bath. Sure. You don't want problems in the ministry? Get rid of the ministry. Someone says, a bus is broken down. Sell them all. I don't have to deal with that anymore. It's midnight. I can't get a driver. Well, get rid of the whole thing. We don't have to find any drivers. That's the way to do it. If you don't want the increase, get rid of it. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean. Some folks are saying, I didn't ask for this much dirt in the crib. Lot to deal with. Problems to encounter. That's a principle. The third thing is a price to pay. What is the price? I'm going to tell you what the price is. The price for people working around here is to have to listen to me. You know? That's the price. Oh, when the pastor finds out about it, oh, we're going to all die. You know? That's the price. That's not what I had in mind. I was in Matt's house the other day, and I always like to announce when I'm coming. I call 30 minutes before I get there. Then I scream from outside, I'm nearly there. And I knock on the door and say, you know, I'm coming in. But I happen to be inside the house. And I heard the awfulest commotion in their kitchen. I thought, I'm at Ron did it again. And then I thought, doesn't sound like adult voices. And I walked in that kitchen, and little baby Justin had his hands around Andrew's neck, who's three, and Andrew had his hands around Justin's neck, who's one, and they were going like this, back and forth, like that. And I thought to myself, this is terrible, but it's funny. It's terrible, but it's funny. Well, what is this? What is this? You know, raising kids, you're going to have things like to deal with. And what do? You just pull them apart, spank their bottoms, and say, don't do that. Till the next time. And you walk in a building and somebody's forgot to do something and you say, what in the world? Who am I working with and what's going on? And then finally you say, it's nobody's fault but my own. We're just going to deal with it. What's the price to pay? The price to pay, friends, is very simple. Just roll up your sleeves and find the crib that's dirty. Amen. And clean it. Amen. Clean it. I got so many people who want to tell me where one's dirty. I'm not interested in knowing where every dirty crib is. Do you see that thing over there on the wall? See that thing over there on the wall? You know what that is? That's a thermostat. It's like school. When you go home tonight and somebody says, what'd you learn in church? You say, that's a thermostat. That thermostat has on it a thermometer. When I walk over there and look at that thermometer, the thermometer tells me what temperature it is in here. And by the way, part of the dirty crib is, I want it hotter. I want it colder. I want this. I want that. Who in the world ever pleased all of you? Nobody. I'm too cold. I'm too hot. It's like the three bears. My bed, as Goldilocks says, is too hard, and this one's too soft, and this one just right, and this porridge is too hot, and this porridge, give me a break. As long as you're dealing with, people, that's what you got to deal with. I don't need any more thermometers telling me what's wrong, what the temperature is. We need some thermostats who can change a few things. Get it done. That's a price to pay. That fella just had to clean the dirty crib. Here we are. I don't know how many we had. I hope the Lord knows how many people were here today. Every time somebody gave me a Sunday school report and I saw three or four classes not on the thing, and I think, who's in charge of this? I thought, keep the ox and clean the crib. Well, I've already told them, I'm changing everything tomorrow. Yeah, have to live with that tonight. The fact of the matter is, 2,800 people here in the worship service today, and we had, more of them that weren't in this auditorium out in meeting and buildings on this campus than were in this auditorium, and I'm thinking, what are we going to do, Lord? And the Lord said, just keep the ox and clean the crib. Amen. That's what we're going to do. Amen. Just press on. Amen. Much increase is by the strength of the ox. If I thought for one moment I was trying to build the biggest church in the world or the biggest church in Knoxville or the biggest church in Powell, if that was what was motivating me, somebody needs to come to me and say, stop, man, will you stop? But Jesus did say the fields are white unto harvest. And we need to go after souls. And God blesses with souls. And lives are being changed. And there are people sitting right here. And one was going north and the other going south. Then both of you met Jesus and started going the same direction. And there are folks here whose lives had just fallen apart. Then the Lord Jesus Christ came to your life. And you got on the solid foundation. What I'm saying to you is that if we're going to continue doing what God has given us to do, it is always, always going to mean that there are dirty cribs to clean. Always. A computer breaks down. Listen, the next time one of them breaks down, pick it up in your hands, take it out, and throw it in the parking lot. And do everything with pencil and paper, and you won't have to fool with it anymore. You say, could we fix it? Yes. Just clean the crib. And the next time we have a problem in the Christian school, I want somebody to push a buzzer and close the place down. No, let's deal with that particular child. Clean the crib. Keep the ox. And go on. You see, a ministry like this must come to believe that this is our way of life. It's not just our way of life. It is the way of life. Amen. You may think you've raised a perfect child, but I'll guarantee you somebody knows you didn't. Someone knows you did not. There is a purpose to fulfill. To get the gospel to the ends of the earth. I don't know that I've ever felt any stronger about this in my life, that we need to do what we can to evangelize this world and this generation. And there are problems to be encountered. And the first time you encounter one, you're going to have to decide either to get rid of the ox or to clean the crib. And when you decide you're going to clean the crib, then just pay the price and keep it going. Amen. Let me tell you what I look forward to the rest of my life. The rest of my life, I know I'm going to have to deal with dirty cribs. Is it worth it? A moment ago, the pianist played and played beautifully. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. And I said to myself, as she was playing it and I was singing along, I said to myself, it's worth it all now. It is. Not just when we see Him someday. It's worth it all now. You believe that? It's worth it all now. It's worth it all now. And dirty rooms and little boys' problems and dirty rooms and little girls' problems and husbands who leave their clothes like they're going to a progressive meal, you know, one in one room and one in the next room and one in the next room. Look, and the poor guy is so stupid he can't drive. You're telling him all the time, I don't know how you live. I don't know how you make it back and forth to work. I don't know how you find your way home. You know, look, what are you going to do with him? What are you going to do with him? Just keep the ox and clean the crib. And you come to church and somebody doesn't do what they're supposed to do. How many times do you think I've been here and somebody didn't do what they're supposed to do? Would you hear this? Would you please hear this? I would quit the ministry this moment if people could get me out of it. Because I got about 30% of the people all a live long day not doing what I think they ought to do. And I'm part of their 30% not doing what I ought to do. Your life is going to be filled with this. And you can go through life just concentrating on the dirty cribs, or you can go through life thinking about what can be done with the ox. And I'm going to go through life, God helping me, thinking about what can be done with the ox. Lord, help me. And rejoice in it. Let us determine to keep the ox and clean the crib.
Dr. Clarence Sexton is our speaker on Conference Pulpit this evening as we listen to the message from Proverbs chapter 14, Keep the Ox and Clean the Crib. And we learn that in dealing with people, there are problems to encounter and a price to pay. But there's a purpose to be fulfilled, and that is to get the gospel out. And here at BBN, we count it a privilege to share the gospel with you each day. Have you responded to the gospel message? Have you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? You can go to bbnchat.org this evening, bbnchat.org, and enter into a private conversation with a biblical advisor one-on-one.
That concludes the online feature. By the way, BBN is on social media. Connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.